Annuities have had a rich and colorful history. The early Romans, inventors of such innovations as the public bath, the iron padlock, and the calendar, also developed the first annuities. In fact, the term annuities may come from the Latin term annua, which means annual stipend. In ancient Rome, people would make a single payment in return for annual lifetime payments. Even in the days of the Roman Empire, retirement planning was a concern. There was an early Roman jurist who developed the first known mortality table used for annuity purposes. And although he had little in the way of data, his actuary tables were found to be effective and were for use for more than 1,000 years. Early annuities also were used by governments to raise money to fight the many wars deemed necessary by the rulers of 17th century Europe. Even in the Middle Ages, increased taxes were not a particularly popular activity for the populace. Into this environment, a particularly intriguing form of annuity came into being known as the tontine. Under the direction of French King Louis XIV, to find a non-taxing way to fund ongoing wars, Minister of Finance Cardinal Mazarin hired Italian banker Lorenzo Tonti, who developed the tontine in 1652. In 1693, the government of the United Kingdom established a state-sponsored tontine. Under the terms of a tontine, participants would purchase shares in the tontine. In return, they received income for life. The most interesting aspect of the tontine was that as more and more participants died, the annuity payments to surviving participants increased substantially until the final surviving tontine participant received a huge lottery-like payment. This one financial product combined in effect a war tax, a lifetime payment plan, and a lottery. Life in the Middle Ages did not get much better than that. The popularity of the tontine even extended to early America, where in 1790, Alexander Hamilton developed a form of tontine to reduce national debt. Unfortunately, the greatest lure to investors of the tontine, namely the possibility of a lottery-like windfall to the final participant, also was its downfall, as the inducement to hasten the death of other participants in the tontine was deemed too much of an encouragement to murder. By the 1990s, tontines were gone from the annuity world. Annuities were often used during the 1700s by European countries to raise money instead of either taxing or offering bonds, such as is done today. Initially, these annuities were sold to everyone at the same price without any consideration of the age or sex of the annuity purchaser. Over time, as actuarial patterns were observed, the cost of annuities became more refined. Annuities first appeared in America in 1759 when Pennsylvania Presbyterian ministers were able to purchase lifetime annuity contracts from the Corporation for the Relief of Poor and Distressed Presbyterian Ministers and Distressed Widows and Children of Ministers. Wow, a company whose existence lasted almost as long as its name. However, the general public was not particularly attracted to annuities as a vehicle for retirement planning, since at that time the best retirement planning was just to have a large family that would take care of you in what passed for old age during America's early years. The first annuities available to the general public were not sold in America until 1912. However, the popularity of annuities did not take off until the Great Depression. Concerns as to the risks inherent in investing in the stock market motivated more and more people to buy annuities from large, stable insurance companies to pay for their retirement. These publicly available annuities were pretty basic in format. Unlike the stock market, the annuities guaranteed the return of your principal as well as income at a fixed rate. Payments from the annuities could either be taken over a specific period of years or a fixed income for life. Legislation enabling the general availability of annuities was enacted in the 1930s, shortly after the enactment of Social Security. At the time, Social Security was not intended to provide the primary funds for the retirement needs of aging Americans. Rather, it was intended to merely supplement retirement planning that would be done by individuals themselves through such investment vehicles as annuities. The tax deferral aspect of annuities was made a part of the early annuity laws to further encourage people to provide for their own retirement. Variable annuities made their appearance on the annuity landscape in 1952, when some creative actuaries came up with the first annuities that would base their payout upon the performance of separate investment accounts held within the annuity. The Teachers Insurance and Annuities Association College Retirement Equity Fund, commonly known as TIAA-CREF, sold the first variable annuities. Early variable annuity purchasers were able to choose from a limited number of investment accounts to have as the basis for their annuities. However, due to regulatory complexities, the major insurance companies did not generally sell variable annuities until 1960. And it was not until the passage of the Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act, TEFRA, in 1982 that the modern annuity was born. Over the years, legislation has continued to appear from time to time to curb practices considered abusive, as in 1988 when the Tax and Miscellaneous Revenue Act, TAMRA, was enacted to tighten loopholes created by the earlier Tax Reform Act of 1986. Today's annuities may not be as much fun as the tontine of the 1700s, but they offer many more choices to investors to tailor their annuities to their own specific needs and desires. Greater expansion of investment choices to individuals within their variable annuities, death benefits, an oxymoron if there ever was one, and reduced surrender charges are all developments that are part of the evolution of the annuity.